want to speak about a seemingly a minor part of the Sedra, but the concept that it brings out is a major idea. We know that the Avos kept the Torah before it was given voluntarily. And this week's Sedra says that. Pasuk says, Ekev asher shoma Avraham bekoli, vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai. Because Avraham Avinu listened to my voice, and he kept all my mitzvahs. So you see that Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs before they were given. Okay. Question is, first of all, what's this double language? Ekev asher shoma Avraham bekoli, he listened to my voice, and he kept all my mitzvahs. He could have said, Ekev asher shomer Avraham is kol mitzvosav, or Ekev asher shomer Avraham bekoli, listen to me, meaning he kept everything. What? Ekev asher shomer Avraham bekoli, vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosai v'sorosai. So it seems to be a double language over here, something redundant. It could have just said, Avraham, listen to me. That means everything. Or it could have said, Avraham kept all my mitzvahs. What's the double? He listened to my voice and he kept all my mitzvahs. What's the two things? So first let's understand the difference between kol and dibur. My Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Gifter Zatzal, pointed out that whenever it says kol, it means something that not necessarily do you understand the words. It's just a directive, not necessarily done because intellectually you know what's going on. I'll give you a few examples. It says by throwing out Yishmael from the house, Sarah demanded that Avram send out Yishmael, and the Rabban Shem told him, Kol asher tomer elecha Sarah shma bikola. Listen to her voice. So Rosh Yeshiva said what it means is the following. Even though to you it's just sounds, because you don't agree, and to you it doesn't make sense, listen to her voice, even though it's beyond your understanding, do what she says. So the word call means not necessarily intelligible speech, just the sound of a voice. Something beyond rationale, beyond words. I have a few other places that we see this idea. I think he also said another place. It says by a bensoru mora, a rebellious child. The parents say, Einenu shomea bikolenu. They don't say, Einenu shomea lidvarenu. When the words make sense to him, he listens. When he doesn't understand, and it doesn't make sense to him, and he disagrees, then he doesn't listen. That's a rebellious child. A child who only listens when it makes sense to him, and he agrees, he doesn't accept any authority. Authority is even when you don't understand and you don't agree, listen just to the voice, even if to you it's unintelligible. So that's another place where we see bikolenu means our words, our voice, beyond reason, not just the words, what they mean. I have another place where we see that. It says by the Aseres HaDibros, Kol Dvarim Atem Shomim. Kol Dvarim. The kol over here is with a kuf. Kuf Vav Lamed. Not call everyone. Kol Dvarim. A voice and words. Fits very beautifully the way the Rishonim say the Aseres HaDibros were given. They say that the Jewish people heard the first two Dibros, Anochi and Lo Yelecha, they heard the words. They knew exactly what God was saying. The last eight, they heard noise. God was speaking to Moshe. They heard the noise, they didn't hear the words. So that's what it says. Kol Devarim Atem Shomim. Some of it you only heard the call, you only heard the sound of the voice, and some you heard the words. Two of them you heard the words, two of them you only heard a sound and voice. So that is the difference between call, right? There it's beyond words. It's not something necessarily you have to understand. It's something that goes beyond intelligible speech. That's kol. Now, let's go to the next stage. Now that we know what Ekev asher shoma Avraham bikoli is one thing, and then Vayishmor Mishmarti or whatever. the question is, where did the Avos know the Torah from? They kept the Torah voluntarily. Where did they know it from?
They're in the Torah.
What?
They're in the Torah, so they're learning about themselves.
No. The Torah they had was basically mitzvos or whatever, right? They didn't have the Torah the way we have it. The Ramban says the Torah before the world was created existed, but not the way we have it. It was combinations of God's name, letters of combinations of God's name, that when things happened, they came out in the combination that we see as words. They kept the Chagim. They kept it in a way, they didn't keep it necessarily exactly as we keep it. They kept the idea. Yeah, it says Avram Beit Matzis. Both Beit Matzis. But because they understood the idea behind it, and the idea behind it is not only because of what happened in history. There was an idea of Chametz and Matzah even before Pesach. God made Pesach work out at the time when there's an idea of Chametz and Matzah to give it an extra reason. But these things are beyond just the reasons the Torah says. There's other reasons for all the mitzvahs. Okay, in any case. So the question is, how did they know? So some say that God gave over the Torah, meaning the mitzvahs, to Adam HaRishon, not to have that he had to keep it, but voluntarily he could keep it, and he passed it on. That's very difficult to say. And therefore there's two other ways that Chazal say that the Avos knew the Torah. One way is that they knew it from the world. It says that God used the Torah as the blueprint for the world. If you're a good architect, you can look at the blueprint and know what the house looks like. And you can look at the house and know what the blueprint looks like. There are great gedolim who from the Torah can tell you what the world is like. The Chazon Ish learned medicine, biology, physiology from the Torah. And he was able to give people advice on operations. He never went to medical school. But the Torah is the blueprint for the world. He saw the world from the Torah. But you can do the opposite too. You can see the Torah from the world. You can look at the world and see and be impressed with God's connection to the world. And since the Torah is the basis for that, you can work your way back and understand what the Torah is. The second thing is from himself. A person also, the nature, right? Even the nature of a person, what's it called, bespeaks the Torah. Because a person's a little world. So you can see the Torah from the big world or from the little world of the person. We'll give you a few examples. Pasuk says, Hashamayim Mesaprim Kvod Keil. The heavens declare the greatness of Hashem. Did you hear the heavens saying anything? But if you study the heavens properly, you'll see the greatness of Hashem. It's not words. They don't say any words. You'll be impressed just from the grandeur of what God created. If you really delve into it, you'll be impressed with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says also that on Thursday, today, birds and fish were created by Maaseh Bereishis, l'shabeach lishmo, to praise God's name. Rashi says it doesn't mean the birds and the fish praise God's name. It means that when people see birds and fish of all different kinds of species, they give praise to God. It's the birds and the fish that evoke praise from people. So if you really look at nature properly, you see God, you see the Creator. From the creation, you see the Creator. Not only that, but it says, Mibisari Echazeh, just from studying yourself and seeing the wonders of a human being, you can understand the Creator who created that. Even more than that. The Pasuk says, we say it all Elul, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Lecho Amar Libi Bakshu Ponai. Rashi says, what does it mean? My heart speaks to me as God's agent and says, seek my face. Now, did you ever hear your heart say, seek my face in God's name? No. If the doctor puts a stethoscope to your heart, he doesn't hear Bakshu Panai. He hears love dub, love dub, love dub. But if you're very, very astute, you'll hear from your own heart beating God speaking to you. But you have to have the right ears, right? Therefore, it's possible to connect in to the Torah and to God in a way that's beyond words, in a way that's totally emotional, right? If you have the right ears, your ears are tuned in. Okay? Once the Torah was given, you can't rely on this tuning in to the world and tuning in to the person, because it's dangerous, because you may hear the wrong station. You may make the wrong conclusions. Once the Torah was given, the Torah has to come first in guiding you how to learn from the world and how to learn from your person. That's why the Rambam says there are two paths to coming to recognize and love and fear God. One way is by learning Torah, and the other way is by looking at creation. There's a Medrash that says the following. And the only thing is that the Rambam says that by studying creation, by studying the stars and the sun and the moon, you'll come to love and fear God. There's only one problem. The Torah says not like that. The Torah says that you could look up at the sun, the moon, and the stars and come to serve idolatry. So which is it? The answer is both are true. Depends what you're listening to. Depends what you're looking for. If you're looking without guidance, you can come to idolatry from studying nature. If you have guidance, if you have the right guidance, you'll come to see and fear and love God. That's borne out with the following. The first human being in space was a Russian cosmonaut called Yuri Gagarin. Okay, I was in high school at the time, I remember, when the Russians surprised the world by sending a man into space. Until then, they sent monkeys or whatever. The first human being that went out of the gravitational pull of the Earth, made three orbits around the Earth, was Yuri Gagarin. When he came back to Earth, he made the following idiotic statement. He said, "Now I know for sure there is no God." I didn't see him. Why was that idiotic? Because he didn't exactly reach the roof. He just got out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. Maybe God was, if you think that God was some kind of old man floating in a chair up there, maybe he was floating above his head. Maybe he wasn't high enough yet. That was a stupid thing to say. But that's what he said. That's what he got out of his space travel. There's no God. There was an American Apollo mission in the 1960s. Before they landed on the moon, they sent astronauts to go around the moon, to go near the moon. On one of those space travels, they shot back pictures of the Earth from space. How the Earth looked, looking at the Earth like looking at the moon or looking at the sun from space. And they did it by satellite all over the entire world. And the astronauts, the American astronauts, who beamed these pictures back to Earth, before they beamed the pictures of Earth from space, they read Tehillim Yutes, Hashemayim Mesaprim Tfilkel, in English. They were goyim. Kiddush Hashem. So the Apollo astronauts came to a belief in God, and the Russian one came to a denial of God. So it depends what you want to see, what you're looking at. There's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says like this. When God created the world, so he created the world with a base. Bereshis bara Elokim. So the Aleph came with a complaint. You're passing me over. Right? I'm the first letter. Create the world with me. And I have a way to tell do it. Instead of saying Bereshis bara Elokim, say Elokim bara Bereshis. And you'll start with an Aleph. God said, "I'm sorry, I can't start the world with an Aleph. Because I can't start creation with an Aleph. Because Aleph stands for Orer, curse. And Bey stands for Baruch. So I got to start with the days, with Baruch. But don't worry. When I give the Torah, I'm going to start it with an Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha." Two questions. First of all, if you can't start the world with an Aleph because it stands for curse, then how can you start the Torah? Nasser said Dibros with an Aleph. Doesn't it still stand for curse? What's the difference? So I want to say like this. From nature, from creation, you have to be guided. It has to be clear this is a blessing, because otherwise you'll see a curse. From nature you can come to deny God, like Yuri Gagarin did. You need to be directed. What's the direction? The Torah. The Torah gives you direction. The Torah directs you to see God. So in the Aseres HaDibros, when God gave the Torah, it could start with an Aleph. And the Aleph can mean Anochi and not Orer, because you're being guided and directed. But the world, there's no guidance and direction. if you're not guided to a base, you're going to see the Aleph Aur. You're not going to see Anochi. You're not going to see Elohim. You're going to see curse.
I understand.
Why
did
he
say that? What? Why did he say it was Aleph there?
Because over there, you need to be guided to see what's right. So you need to start with a base, which is Baruch. You need to see the blessing and be guided to see the blessing in creation, not the curse. Because creation, you could see this way, you could see that way. So you need to start with a base that stands for blessing. The Torah, on the other hand, is the guiding system. The Torah guides you. It says the light of Torah guides a person properly. So you don't need an extra outside guidance. The Torah has its own GPS. It guides you to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore it can start with an Aleph, and you won't see curse, you'll see Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There the Aleph will also be guided properly. What? No, because we want you to see the blessing in creation, not the curse. Because the blessing in creation is being guided to see the Ribbono Shel Olam in creation, not to deny the Ribbono Shel Olam in creation.
Why necessarily
does
the Torah need guidance?
Why does the Torah not need guidance? Because the light of the Torah itself guides a person. The Torah, the Gemara says, right? Halavai, a person should forget about me. Halavai osi ozavu b'Torah, keep the Torah ki hamor shebamazel mutav. The light of the Torah guides a person back to the good. Torah has its own guidance system. And that's why, I think, the Torah always has to come first. The Torah is always the Aleph. And the creation is the base. We see this in two places. Every morning we make two brachas before Shema. Shema is loving God, believing in God, fearing God. That's the Shema. What leads up to that? Two paths, two brachas. The first one deals with nature. Yotzer Oru Vori Choshech speaks about all of nature. And the second one, Avarab or Avasolon, speaks about Torah. Now even though the first bracha is nature, because nature came first before the Torah was given, but what letters does that bracha start with? Baruch Atah Hashem Beis. And the second bracha starts with what?
Aleph.
So the Torah bracha is the Aleph. And the creation bracha is the Beis. Even though in time, creation came before the Torah, right? Torah wasn't given until after creation. But in importance, first you have to have the Aleph, then you can have the Beis. The Torah guides you. The second place we see that, what?
Beis first.
Then it's not first. It's just the bracha comes first because chronologically, the creation came before the Torah. But if you want to know in order of importance, the Torah bracha is the Aleph, and the same thing goes a different thing. During the winter, between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos, many people have the custom of saying Borchi Nafshi. During the summer, more people have the custom of learning Pirkei Avos. I was thinking why. Shabbos, especially Shabbos Mincha, Shabbos Shuddah's time, is the height of love of God of the week. That's when God's love for us and our love for Him reaches its peak of the week. Shabbos is special love of God, and that part of Shabbos is the greatest part. And you always need two paths to get to that love and recognition of God: nature and Torah. Both of them are important. So during the winter, nature is not there. It's hibernating. You don't see nature, right, in the winter. But the Torah, since the nights are very long, the main time for learning Torah is at night. So the Torah is intense and nature is at its low ebb. So we supplement the path of nature by saying Borchi Nafshi, which speaks about nature. In the summers, it's the opposite. The nights are short, so Torah is at its low ebb, because the main time for learning Torah is at night. So Torah is at its low ebb, but nature is in full bloom. So you need to supplement the path of Torah. So we learn Pirkei Avos. In the summer, we supplement the path of Torah to nature. In the winter, we supplement the path of nature to Torah. Barchi Nafshi, which is nature, starts with what? A base. Barchi Nafshi. And Avos starts with an Aleph. So always the Torah is the Aleph. So once the Torah was given, you can't get close to God just from nature. You have to first have the Torah. But before the Torah was given, the Avos didn't have the Torah. they reach the Torah through nature, through their own bodies, through studying nature. Like I told you, the architect can look at the building and tell you what the blueprint looked like. But that is something beyond words. They didn't get the Torah of words. They got a Torah of inspiration. They were inspired by the creation to be able to see the Creator, understand what He wants, and come to the mitzvah from that. That's what it says. Ekev asher shama Avraham bikoli. First, he heard my voice. Not words, not intelligible speech. He was inspired by creation, by nature, by his own body. And it says that his two klayos, his two kidneys, became like fountains of Torah. From his own being, he learned the Torah. From nature, he learned the Torah. And he guided it in the proper way. Not everybody can do that. That's why once we have a Torah, you have to follow the Torah first, and then use nature. But don't think you're going to come to God from nature without being guided. But the Avos were on a level where they could do that. They didn't have a Torah. They had to do it like that. So that's what it means. I was thinking, that's why the whole idea of Bris Milah, a child is introduced to the God and makes a covenant beyond rationale. He's not capable of thinking. His initial connection to God is beyond thinking, beyond words. It's automatic. And then from there, he goes on to have an intelligible relationship with God. That's what we say, Kishem Shenichnas Labris, Ken Yukonis LaTorah LaChup LaMaisim Tovim. Right? That just the way that he had that connection to God that's beyond words. It's inspiration. The same way he should get that same inspiration from Torah Chup and Maisim Tovim. Yeah.
How did Avraham get to that level in the first place?
Because when a person wants to, Avraham Avinu sought out from nature the Ribbono Shel Olam, the famous Medrash that he saw the sun, he said, well, that's God, and then the clouds cover up the sun. So he looked into nature and studied it, and he realized there must be a creator to all of this, because there is a creation. And from there he got closer and closer to the inspiration of that creator from every detail in nature. But it wasn't something that he got through intelligence and words, it's something he got from inspiration. So that's what it means.
But Bikoli is
right. Bikoli is God's voice, not his words. Where do you find God's voice? The inspiration just of his being that you see through nature, you see through your own body, and the only thing is you have to hone your, what's it called, your ears to hear it. Even today, when we have a Torah, but you can take the second step and hear God everywhere. Not just when you're learning Torah. First of all, you can hear God giving the Torah constantly. It says, call Gadol v'lo Yosef. Again, call. The words of the Torah were given once, but the inspiration from it is constantly being given every day. It says every day a bas call comes out from Har Chorev, Oino lebrios melbono shel Torah. The way that some people explain it is like this. It says that when God gave the Aseret HaDibros, it went on eternally. If you tune your ears, you'll hear the Aseret HaDibros, not the words. You'll hear God giving Torah. When you're learning Torah, you'll hear God giving it. But you have to have sensitive ears. Because people mostly don't have those sensitive ears. And they don't hear God constantly giving the Torah. A bas call, an echo goes out and says, what a disgrace to the Torah that people don't hear. They don't hear God's voice. But it's beyond that. It says, what's it called? That everything can, you can look at the sky. You'll see the Ribbono Shel Olam. You'll see the Torah. Look at your body. You'll hear the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything. Look at the fish and the birds. They'll speak to you of the greatness of Hashem.
But you're saying today we need the Torah.
Right. So first you have the Torah to guide you. But after you have the guidance of Torah, you can be inspired by the entire creation to hear not the words of Hashem, but to hear the voice of Hashem, the inspiration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Avos worked it backwards. They first had the inspiration, and then they worked down to the words. We have to have the words first, because it's dangerous to do it the other way. But once you have the words, and you have the guidance, now hook in to the inspiration too. now see the guide who you're being guided to see in nature, to see from your own body, to hear from the just what's going on in the air. Right? That's why it says, "Kol anehenu misudas chosam." Person goes to a wedding, and he enjoys the wedding, but he doesn't make the chosam and kala happy. So he's over behei kolos. He transgresses five kolos. Kol sason, the kol simcha, kol chosam, the kol kala, kol omrim hodel Hashem. What does it mean? It means the following: person goes to a wedding, and he enjoys it. He understands, good thing, people get married. Marriage is a great institution. But he doesn't understand the inspiration of it to make the chasan and kala happy. Get involved. Doesn't understand that. So he understands the words, the idea, the intellectual idea understands. But he's not hooked into the inspirational idea. So he's missing the kolos, the kol chasan, the kol simcha, the things that are beyond words. You have to function on two levels. You have to function rationally, intellectually, and for us that has to come first. Learn the Torah, learn what the mitzvahs are, learn everything that you have to know. But don't leave it like that, because then it becomes very cold. And from everything you know, hook in to the things that are beyond rationale. Hook in to hearing the Rav Amshon's voice, the inspiration you get from nature, the inspiration you get from your own body, from the animals and birds. And use that to connect into the Rebbeinu Shlomo in a more emotional, inspirational way, not just an intellectual way. Torah has intellect. Torah also has emotion, inspiration. You need both. You get the intellectual guidance from learning Torah. You get the inspiration and the emotion from looking around and seeing God in creation. That's the idea. The Avos did it backwards. Emotion led them to intellect. That's dangerous for us. We're not on that level. Now that the Torah was given, you have to start with the intellect, and then that'll guide you to look and get the emotion properly. Okay. I'm going to have to leave a little bit early because I have a flight to Switzerland this afternoon. I don't want an issue. Okay. I will be back for next week, though.